Big NFL football weekend coming up, which, as I may have mentioned over 70 times this program, I'll be enjoying from the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook in Las Vegas. Ooh. Allie, I got to tell you, you sit there in the sportsbook and you overhear guys talking about these different teams and about their bets and the sheer amount of information that these guys have crammed into their brains about, like, the fifth string long snapper for the Tennessee Titans and if he has a hangnail and if it's infected or not. The amount of information is stunning slash disturbing. Well, our next guest is largely responsible for those kinds of conversations occurring. Rich Eisen hosts NFL Total Access on the NFL Network, a channel that just talks about the NFL 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and it's awesome. Rich Eisen also has a new book out called Total Access, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe, and he joins us now. Hi, Rich.
How you doing? So when you're in the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook, do me a favor, and this is because, you know, the NFL, I'm not allowed in the places like that because I work for the NFL. Mention my book when they talk about the fifth string long snapper. Just start spreading the word of mouth about my book.
Or maybe I can get on the little PA system they have there, just commandeer it and, like, tell them what the sixth race at Saratoga was, and also check out Rich Eisen's book.
I think that's a great idea. See how long you last in the
They are so paranoid. If you bring your phone out in there, they get freaked out that you're running some kind of a version of the sting where you're getting, like, tips, you know, from somebody else.
Right.
It's an oddly kind of Baroque place, the sports book.
I suggest what you do is to not attract any attention. You should dress like Tom Cruise in Rain Man. Bring somebody dressed just like him with you, and then go ahead and do that. Give that one a whirl.
I'm definitely going to put that on my list of things that might happen this weekend. Let's talk about your book, Rich. The cover.
Sure.
Let's start with the cover, which has an amazing photograph. It's you in a nice suit and some dress shoes, and you are sprinting on AstroTurf. What are you doing, sir?
I'm running the 40-yard dash. That's an annual event called the NFL Scouting Combine, which is held after this, about 3 weeks after the Super Bowl every year, because as soon as the Super Bowl ends, the rest of the calendar year begins to kick off. And that's what my book is about. It's about the fact that there's no such thing as an off-season anymore. There's a playing season and a non-playing season. And 3 weeks after the Super Bowl is over, every single team in the NFL is active again at this event, the Scouting Combine, where every prospective NFL rookie that's draft eligible for the draft that takes place 2 months after the Combine is in one place in the RCA Dome in Indianapolis, the home of the Indianapolis Colts, to run 40-yard dashes, lift weights, do things for every single scout. And it's somewhat of a dry event, if you will, that NFL Network covers. So I try to spruce it up every year by running the 40-yard dash myself in my uniform.
How'd you do? So, what kind of time?
Well, the first year I did it in 2005, I ran it in a blazing Nike Goddess-like 6.77 seconds, which is about 2.5 seconds slower than what you need to do to make the National Football League.
Which may not sound like a lot, but when you're talking about a 40-yard dash, 2 seconds is it might as well be an hour.
Well, I mean, the difference between being drafted at running back is if you run a 4.45 40, you can get drafted at running back. If you run a 4.8 40, you don't get drafted. I ran a 6.77. But as I like to tell everybody, you can't measure what's inside. You can't measure my heart.
Those are the intangibles, and that's why I think you've been rated high on a lot of those draft websites.
Then I decided to make it the cover of the book because my book is, you know, even though it does take you inside events that are hardcore, like the Scouting Combine, it's really not the most hardcore football book. I'm not really breaking down things like the cover two defenses or the four wide receiver set. I'm basically taking my press pass off my neck and putting it on the neck of the reader and taking them inside every single event in the NFL calendar and showing how much fun we have on NFL Network doing it.
You kind of take people into this really surreal world of covering the NFL and having all this access that you have with the NFL Network. I wonder, are you a little surprised at the success of the NFL Network in terms of fans loving it? Because when it launched, I was thinking, what am I going to care about somebody's scout team tight end in May?
No.
And yet I totally care. Are you surprised?
No, not really. I was hoping it would be, but I'm not really surprised. I mean, I left ESPN 4 years ago. Which is, again, something I chronicle in the book, the decision that I made and what it was like launching this network. But, you know, the country seems to have an insatiable appetite for all things NFL these days, and we're feeding it to them. And just this past couple weeks, when the Colts and the Patriots played last Sunday, and it garnered a rating, television rating that was akin to an American Idol episode, and it was on a Sunday afternoon. People just can't get enough of it right now, and we are busier in the non-playing season, as I like to say, than the playing season, because all 32 teams are relevant. I mean, right now we're entering week 10 of the National Football League season, and a few teams are already off the radar screen because, well, a couple of them are winless. So several teams aren't going to make the playoffs, which is the most relevant storyline over the next few weeks. So,
do you think, Rich, that you guys make football a little worse in this way?
Answered that question.
Well, yeah, that's a nice build-up.
I'm gonna explain what I'm trying.
That's a caveat. Go ahead.
I'm gonna explain what I mean, and then you'll probably still say no. But a friend of mine who's a hardcore sports fan, he loves baseball because basically what happens in baseball is you play a game, it's over, you get up the next day, you play another game. And what he doesn't like about football is that it's a soap opera. You have a game, and then you have, as soon as it's over, 6 days of drama and soap operatic arguments between this wide receiver and this quarterback, and it plays out like all my children, more so than as an athletic event. And all week it's Ed Werder reporting live from Dallas training camp on ESPN about this guy being mad at this guy because he hit on this guy's wife, and the NFL Network chronicles what goes on in this league so closely. Is it almost too much, and does it almost make it about the wrong things?
No, not at all. It's never not the case in that respect. I mean, if you think about it with baseball, you have to pay attention to it. I mean, I'm a baseball nut. In fact, I write that in the introduction, that baseball is my first love, and taking the job with NFL Network was had a bit of trepidation because, I wasn't being covering my favorite sport anymore, and I was going to be covering a sport that wasn't really my favorite, but I have fallen in love with it. And part of it has to do with the fact that it's a perfect being in my mind, in that it is only played once a week, that there is build up to something, that you can take your time and figure out what you like about a certain team, what you don't, that your fantasy football league team only needs to be set once a week as opposed to once a day with baseball. And that's what brings the casual fan into the tent more than the hardcore fan of any other sport. I mean, every other major sport in America would kill to have the number of casual fans that the National Football League has. And I think the reason for that is that it's only once a week. And we, never really talk about, quote-unquote, the wrong thing. In fact, many people who own us in the National Football League think we probably do talk about the wrong thing, because we talk about things like Michael Vick and Pac-Man Jones and things that police blotter items that took place in the spring and the summer, rather than just talking about only things that would whitewash a National Football League fan.
Well, that kind of leads nicely into my next question, which
I'm dovetailing now on your rundown.
I appreciate it.
Because he's a broadcast professional.
Did we email that to you? Because you're just kind of you're segueing beautifully, which is...
Please, go ahead.
You cover the NFL, and yet you work for the NFL, and I mean, is there a firewall somewhere? Can you get on and say anything you want?
Well, I would never have taken the job if I was, if I was going to run the football equivalent of a Russian news agency. I wouldn't... I guess dovetail into the news of the day that if there was a difficult news story in the National Football League, it wouldn't figuratively surround my house with barbed wire. I would be able to talk about everything. And the only thing we don't talk about, which I think brings us completely full circle, is gambling lines. We don't talk about what's most people talk about it.
Well, that's my next six questions.
We don't go over and under. We don't talk about pluses and minuses because the league frowns upon gambling of that nature. And I was fine with that. I mean, if anybody needs their football news through the prism of betting lines, and there's so many other different outlets that they can get the news from. But I've never been told you can't say this, you need to say that.
And I was impressed with the Benazir Bhutto reference.
That was great.
How many sportscasters can go Pakistan turmoil
At 5:40 in the a.m. West Coast
time. Out of where
time.
I am right now, where it is completely pitch black right
That's
now.
That's brilliant. Well, you mentioned...
That's what I do for NPR. That's what I do, is I go the extra mile.
Are you sure you don't want to be with Larry and the Nut Hut in Tucson Sports Radio or whatever?
Larry and the Nut Hut. I like that one.
You mentioned Mike Vick, and I think that's a story that has certainly transcended pro football fandom. I mean, it's everyone who's anywhere in America has heard this guy's story. I guess what I wonder is, you're somebody who is so inside this world and you know a lot about that story and how the NFL works more so than most people. What do you think, what is it, what can you tell us about this story that I guess people on the outside don't really get? What can you illuminate it for us?
I don't think that there's anything that I, any other illumination that I can give you. I mean, it, to me, it's such a foreign, barbaric concept that that dogfighting. Period. You know, I'm a dog lover. That I support a bill out here in California that requires the spaying and neutering of animals. I love Bob Barker.
I was going to say that's Barkerian.
I almost would end my show every day by saying, "Please help control the pet population. Have your pet spayed or neutered." At any rate, long story short, it is mind-boggling to me that a face of an NFL franchise, someone with a $100 million sports contract, would spend any part of his spare time thinking, I've got to go to a house that I own in Virginia that I've set up specifically for dogfighting to go fight dogs. But there is a subculture in sports, and in many, it's not just sports, it's all walks of life in which people do this sort of thing. And the NFL, finding out about it, did its best to completely root it up and tamp it out. Obviously, the courts of law will have its part, too. But I don't think there's anything I can shed any light on, other than the fact that I was awful glad that the playing season started, because it finally got us to talking about games, which is what fans really want to talk about. I know fans were outraged by that, and rightfully so, and Pac-Man Jones, but I got so many more emails saying, stop talking about that. Tell me what's going to happen with my team.
Well, let me ask you about this current season, and the big question, I guess, is probably New England. Can they go undefeated? They're 9-0, I think. Are they like a 3-1 favorite to win the Super Bowl?
Those terms confuse me. You know, I don't know what you mean by favorites and things of that nature and odds.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Leaving that off, let me ask you this.
Saturday Night Live character, the unfrozen caveman lawyer.
We literally on this show have a huge blog posting dedicated to unfrozen caveman lawyer. I kid you not, Mr. Eisen.
So you know what I mean? I'm like the unfrozen caveman sportscaster, and people talk like that to me.
Your betting lines scare me.
They scare me. You confuse me.
But I know this. The Patriots will run the table. No, seriously. Seriously, though, betting aside, are the Pats going to go undefeated?
I think so. I really do. I mean, their schedule is easier from here on out than it was from the last week previous. You know, they have a big test at home in Week 14 with the Steelers coming in. They go to Buffalo in a couple weeks, which is one of those games that sort of can come up to bite you, because usually in these cases, it's not the more obvious game on the schedule with the most difficult opponent that will trip a team up when they're trying to go undefeated. It's a game on the road against a team that everyone believes should be inferior that normally jumps up to hang a loss on somebody. But the way the Patriots are playing is just beyond phenomenal, and they could be the most complete team that we've seen in decades. And
does Don Shula, the former coach of the Miami Dolphins, have a point?
No.
His team went undefeated, and he says if the Pats go undefeated, there's an asterisk because they had this cheating scandal with videotaping.
He knows better than that, too. He's already retracted that. You know, I mean, listen, the Patriots did cheat. They did do something Nixonian, because they really didn't need to do what they were doing.
There's 18 minutes of that tape missing?
Yeah. Exactly.
And Halderman is their offensive coordinator.
Well, you know, that they did something paranoid, and they did something that they didn't need to do in order to win, and they videotaped the opposition's coaches sending in their signals for them to study for the next game.
Yeah.
But,
hey, Rich,
they haven't had that this year, and a lot of people think the Patriots have been destroying opponents. They have a scorched earth policy this year because they want to prove how insignificant the videotape was for them by showing how great they can be without it.
And it only looks to get uglier this weekend, because they're going to take on the Jets, and Eric Mangini, their coach, is the guy who blew the whistle in the first place. Hey, Rich Eisen, host of NFL Total Access on the NFL Network and author of the very readable and very, very interestingly covered book, Total Access, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe. Thank you for coming on the show. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And if there are any listeners in the Ann Arbor, Michigan area, I went to Michigan. I'm coming for a book signing on Monday at the Borders on East Liberty. And then Tuesday, I'm gonna. That's at 1 o'clock on Monday.
The whole interview was trying to keep you off of Michigan.
No,
you managed to do it at the end.
The
pride of Staten Island,
yeah.
Rich Eisen. Thank you very much.
Oh, you bet.